Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
We still should be joined by our Philadelphian of the day. He's not here on site. As soon as we get him, we'll pop him on the set. In the meantime, right back to your phones. As promised, this hour of the program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. And again, thanks to our presenting sponsor all week long, Harbor One Bank. Right back to your phones, as promised. Sandy in North Andover on Tom Brady. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I try not to keep you long, but I hope you don't cut me off because I'm really aggravated about this. It has nothing to do with Tom Brady, but I heard yesterday about the bars and the drinks and the dates. And since March, I've been making banana ice cream and putting dates in it. And when Felga said carbs and sugar and you can put artificial stuff in there, there's nothing more natural than and good for you than fruits and green vegetables. And
they got
dates
sugar.
Are very, very extremely, with fiber and everything else, wonderful for you. So
they got sugar.
People need to concentrate more on packaged foods and canned foods and how they're preserving them and fad diets, because if you wean sugar, and I'm a sugaraholic, I used to be, if you get sugar out of your system, processed sugar, not natural, and the only natural sugar other than fruit is, because I heard Felga say,
Sandy,
why does
Sandy,
it Trump
Sandy,
natural?
Sandy,
it's stevia,
Sandy,
which comes
please.
From a plant.
Sandy, we can't do this much, much longer. I'm sorry, I can't. A caller yesterday asked about the TB12 method, and I told you that I went on the site and saw his bars and shakes that have dates and other sort of hidden sugars in there. That's what I was told by my fitness guy, that you will see some of these bars and these shakes, when they try and slip sugar in there, they don't say sugar, but they'll say things like dates, and that's how they get the sweetness in there. And it is a natural sugar, fine, but it's sugar. And if you're trying to avoid sugar, which Tom has said he has in the past, at one point Tom was selling you on the no fruit thing, right? I remember I lost my mind on that. What do you mean no fruit? Well, now I know why, because fruit has sugar. If you're trying to eliminate even that, you can get that out. So that was all I said yesterday. Please, we can't, you know, I can't spend too much more time on that one.
I'm pro fruit, just for the record.
Hey, Jimmy, give
just
me
just not too much of it.
Jimmy, give me my Philadelphian of the day open. Why don't you?
Hey, you guys want to get a water ice? I don't know if I'm in the mood for a hoagie or a whiz wit. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Live from Radio Row, Felger and Maz present the Philadelphian of the day.
And it's that time of day. We're joined now in the Big Y World Class Market guest chair, Dahani Jones, former Philadelphia Eagles linebacker, joins us now on set. How you doing, Dahani?
I'm doing all right. Man, this is a nice little setup. These lights are bright. It's like outside, right inside.
Well, we're on TV, and yes, we got a little sunlight going through the windows.
You guys
there,
make the food court look good.
Yeah, I don't know about that much.
We get the corner lot.
So, I mean, what do you guys smell more often, the Italian sauce or the you know, the cheeseburger or the
body
grilled
odor.
Cheese?
Humanity.
The body
humanity,
odor.
Humanity? That's what you smell?
Mostly of Eagles fans.
Falafel on the side? Or do you smell like the poke bowl? Or you smell the coffee in the background? I mean, there's a whole cacophony of smells that are going on right here.
Donnie, every Philadelphia guy I've talked to this week is confident in the Eagles. Are you?
I'm confident in them.
Why?
You have to be.
What do you mean you have to be?
Because they have to
back
be confident.
A quarterback and a first-time coach?
Because you have to. So I think you have to have confidence in them because I believe in momentum more than anything else. And I think they have a lot of momentum going into this game, and I think they need to be able to instill that confidence that we have within them as they are in within themselves. Because, I mean, you play in this game, and you already know, right? You already know who the best are, right? Everybody's going to say it's Belichick. Everybody's going to say it's Tom Brady. And they are, based upon their track record. But any time, at any moment, during any season, somebody could have a bad day and somebody with more momentum than the next can come in and can do something special.
Doesn't every team have momentum once they get here?
No. I think with everything that's happened to Philadelphia and losing their quarterback, Nick obviously coming in, you know, and his story, and then also talking about the defense. I mean, I don't really play in too much to the underdog mentality and all the different gimmicks and other things that they've leveraged in order to sort of invoke the spirit. The defense doing really well. Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox. I like to see that momentum is a lot different than the Patriots momentum.
Who is the best team in the league this year?
The best team? I mean, one would say the ones that are playing this.
No,
the
I'm
Super
asking
Bowl
for one.
Right,
I'm not asking who's winning the game. Who's been the best team in the league?
Who's been the best? I mean, the Patriots have always been the best. I mean, I've seen some things that are that just make no sense. I mean, being down by 17, you know, being, you know, everybody else counting them out until like the last couple seconds. I mean, they just have a way and they have a knack for being able to get back into the game and have a certain level of resilience. I mean, you see it in Tom Brady's face when he walks onto the field or he's pacing up and down the sidelines. They just have a different way about them that sort of confuses everybody else in the entire National Football League. And that's why they've been so successful. And that's why 13 years ago they beat us when I was playing on the Eagles.
Okay, but you wouldn't know. But Tony thinks that the Philadelphia Eagles
have been
the best.
Yeah, I think Philly was the best team in the league this year.
Look, I think Philadelphia... That's why Carson is, you know, nominated as one of the MVPs of the league. You know, he had a superb year. And I remember last year sitting down watching the game against the Bengals. I was in the stadium, and a lot of people sat around me and said, watch, you know, next year Carson's going to do an amazing job. And he has. And unfortunately he got hurt, but there's still something about New England and in terms of their resiliency from several years, you know, just every year. You can't count them as not the best team in the league because of the fact that, you know, they may not perform as well as the rest. Just because I think you count them as the best because of the fact that they've always stayed on top and being the best.
Donnie Jones, former Philadelphia Eagle, joining us here in the Big Y World Class Market guest chair. What did you learn playing in that Super Bowl in 04? That if you could talk to the current Eagles and tell them, this is something I missed and overlooked in 04, don't you do the same thing, what would it be?
Time. Time is the...
Meaning what?
It's a lot different playing the Super Bowl than it is playing in a normal game. Everything is scripted. In a regular game, you know, you wake up at 7 o'clock, you eat breakfast at 8 o'clock. You know, you have to be down in the stadium by 10 o'clock. You're on the field by 11 o'clock. The game starts at 12. You know, you go back in the locker room at 12 o'clock. You know, you come back on the field at 12:45, and then all of a sudden, the national anthem, then the kickoff, right? So everything is timely. When it comes to the Super Bowl, everything is extended just a little bit more. And so you have to be careful and not peaking at the wrong time.
Did you guys peak at the wrong time in 04?
We peaked at the wrong time. I know I peaked at the wrong time. I came out on the field, and they were still pulling off everything from the field from the national anthem. Then we came out from halftime. They were still pulling things off from the halftime performance. And so I remember that game, and I just was like, okay, I'm ready to go. All right, I got to sit down. I'm not ready to go. All right, I'm ready to go. I got to sit down. I'm not ready to go. Those types of things hinder your performance as an athlete because you have that time. You try to peak. Everything has to be together. Your mental, your physical, your attitude in order to make the best plays. And all of a sudden, you're on the downslope, and then you're in a place where you won't be able to make those plays.
So you guys weren't out of condition. Donovan was puking through his face mask.
That's pure speculation. Whether that happened, or whether maybe he did vomit. I don't know. I wasn't on the field. I was too busy trying to
tape of it. You can go look at it.
Or maybe he was just like throwing something out of his mouth. It was like water. He was like wringing water out. No, but I think he was in shape. Maybe it was his nerves or something like that.
Or what you're talking about. You peaked too early. You know, you came out of the locker room too early or whatever. It's an incredibly long day.
Yeah, it's a really long day.
So is it a bad sign that the Eagles reportedly had a bad practice yesterday? And I saw that Peterson said...
A bad sign that they had a bad practice. Bad practices all the time, you know? If they had a bad practice, that means they already spent their bad day, and now they're going to get ready for a better day.
Donnie Jones, do you think the Patriots had your signals back in 04? Because I know other people who were on the Eagles that year have said you guys thought they were up to something.
So I was looking at it like... I decided to look at it differently. Instead of looking at if they had our signals or not, I'd put that game in 2018 with everybody with their iPhone, right? And I would take sort of a tech approach to this. Imagine everybody at practice, or imagine everybody around utilizing their cell phones trying to get as many angles as possible. And think about someone going in with some artificial technology, artificial intelligence, and being able to sort of, through machine learning, aggregate all the different plays. Would that be, at the same time, would that be cheating, or would that be leveraging technology to do something better?
So you think that's what they were doing?
I'm not saying that they cheated. I'm not saying that they did or did not. I'm just saying that with all the information that's out there, people are bound to get information in whatever different ways. You still have to be able to play, right? If we all know that you know a little bit more than I do, and I'm still stronger than you are, I'm more learned than you are, then I should be able to fight you. I should be able to figure that out.
So you and Brady were teammates, right?
Right.
College?
Yeah.
How long?
We were teammates for the better part of 4 years because we graduated at the same time. He was 1 year before me, and then we were in the same draft class.
And what's your relationship with him now?
I talk to him sometimes. I see him sometimes. We actually had the same agent, Don Yee, and and Steve Dubin. So we see each other. Sometimes we see each other at the Derby and in passing and things of that nature. But
did you ever think he'd be this?
I don't think anybody knows who's going to be what until they actually do it, right? Is he the greatest after one? Is he the greatest after two? The greatest after three? I mean, when does he become the greatest? I think the only time you know someone's going to be the greatest is when your child is born. You're like, oh, my son or my daughter's going to be the greatest in the world.
Did you see
That's it.
But so did you see no snippets of it? I mean, did you see any glimpses of what that?
I mean, there was so much quarterback competition in Michigan. It was crazy. I mean, it was Scott. It was Dreisbach. I mean, there was Brian Greasy. I mean, there's Drew Henson, Tom Brady. I actually think that being able to sort of split those reps at Michigan saved his legs, right? Because – you know, you split the amount of reps that you get both at practice and also in the games, and then you're actually able to save yourself a little bit for the National Football League. And so I think that's helpful.
Do you think he's changed at all? We've had this discussion about, you know, he's doing a lot more endorsements now, this Facebook documentary. He's a lot more open. Has he changed? As you know him, has he changed?
Well, I think that you didn't see him doing a lot of things. So, you know, it's out there that he has changed. I don't think he's changed as a person. I think maybe he's starting to see that he's not going to be able to play the game forever. And so he's thinking about what his transition might look like. And so he might be trying to control what that outcome or the directionality of it is in order to open up those opportunities in the fact that when he does transition, he has that opportunity out there.
Donnie Jones, if the Eagles win this game, how do they do it?
I think they do it up front. That's how every game is determined. You know, as a defensive player, I always rely on my front four, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox. They have to be able to get through that offense and be able to get to Tom, period. If you get Tom to move his feet, you get him more lateral side to side and kind of confused in the pocket, which he rarely is able to do. But what I believe that the Philadelphia Eagles defense can do, can cause, then that will throw him off his game if he ever is thrown off his
game. So you're a good guy to ask this, because I've had people say that the Philly linebackers aren't that good. Are they? And if they are, what is the weakest part of that defense?
I think the weakest part of the defense, that's tough. I mean, I think being able to, I don't know what do I call the weakest part of that defense, because from what I've seen, they've been pretty sure all around. I wouldn't know.
Okay, Don, you want 30 seconds for Bank of America here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, being at the Super Bowl, it's an awesome opportunity for a lot of people to spend time with one another. Things are expensive. So sometimes you got to split the cost. And with the Bank of America mobile banking app featuring Zelle, you can do that. It's a cashless, you know, easily secure transaction in order to get, you know, pay up or get paid.
I like it. Okay, Donnie, thanks for coming by. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Felger and Maz, the Sports Hub. Felger and Maz are on your phone with the radio.com app.
Get off the internet!
From 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Seattle huddling up, down four, but on the verge of the lead. Wilson with 33 seconds and counting. Waiting on the snap. Lynch to his left. Baldwin to the left as well. Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's
good.
Intercepted! Intercepted! And the Patriots have possession with 20 seconds to go in Super Bowl 49 with a 4-point lead over the Seahawks.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history. You are on the 1-yard line, and you have number 24, and you drop back pass. Are you kidding me?
The pass is a great idea to throw the ball to get your touchdown against those guys, unless it doesn't happen.
3 years ago today, one reason to run it.
Throw it, Bev.
The other reason, Coach Carroll, is to ask, do you have faith that the Patriots could make a similar kind of play on defense if they needed it this year? Maz, do you?
No. No, I don't. Relatively, no. I mean, again, it doesn't mean it can't happen. There's your CYA, my covering my ass as usual. But no, I don't believe in this defense. I told you, I think of the teams that they have sent to the Super Bowl, the eight times, this is probably the second worst defense they've ever had. Other than 2011, they lost that one.
So Maz is picking the Eagles, and it's really because about the Patriots' defense in a vacuum. He does not believe in it. We gave you the Football Outsiders stat from earlier. They ranked 31st in this. It's an advanced metric. It's based on schedule strength and some other factors. It's not just pure yards or points allowed. But the Football Outsiders individual metric has the Patriots ranked 31st in the league in their DVOA, which is their advanced metric defensive stat. That's the lowest ranked Patriots defense ever to make the Super Bowl. It'd be the lowest ranked defense to ever win a championship. And Maz looked at it. Of the seven previous times you've gone to the Super Bowl, the only two times you've lost is when you've had a below average defense based on this metric. And in 2014, you ranked 16th and just barely won. Okay, so Maz looks at that and says, well, this is just not a championship caliber defense. I like to look at the defensive passer rating stat, or the passer rating differential stat, Kerry Byrne stat, and tell me where we stack up there. I see that the Philadelphia Eagles were ranked slightly higher than the Patriots.
So overall this season, and again, Kerry Byrne now with fan cred, but the passer rating differential at the end of the season, or, you know, and up through now, Philadelphia currently ranks 5th in the NFL. The Patriots rank 10th. So there is an edge there for the Eagles.
So when I saw that, I said, well, wait a minute now. And the passer rating differential, folks, is just your passer rating offensively minus what you give up on defense. And the biggest spread is a really good indicator of championship success, according to Kerry. And it's really borne out, I believe, in the stat. So anyway, when I heard that about the Eagles, I said, well, wait a minute. That's with Carson Wentz as quarterback. With Nick Foles as quarterback, their passer rating differential has to be way lower, and that's what we should be looking at, the Nick Foles passer rating differential. What is it under Nick Foles?
Okay, so I had Kerry Byrne run these numbers with a couple of disclaimers. One was week 17, Foles didn't play the whole game. He only threw 11 passes, and it was a meaningless game, so I threw that out. I said, give me the meaningful games with Nick Foles, the passer rating differential for the Eagles in those games. And here's what Kerry wrote back. There's a prevalent theme out there that the Eagles were more dangerous with Wentz at QB instead of Foles. This is a fallacy. It's not true. Philly's passer rating differential has been slightly better in four games with Foles than it was in 13 games with Wentz. The Eagles, through week 14, after the Wentz-led victory over the Rams, were plus 22.7 in passer rating differential. Okay, so with Wentz, plus 22.7. The Eagles in the four meaningful games with Foles, Giants, Raiders, Falcons, Vikes, are plus 25.8 in passer rating differential.
Interesting.
So they really have not slipped, and in fact, you could argue they've gotten a little bit better. Now, look, obviously I'm leaving out the end of the Rams game because Foles came in as a reliever, and I left out the season-ending game because, frankly, the game didn't mean anything. He threw 11 passes. I said, that's not a representative body of work. So did I manipulate the data? Probably. But I tried to pick games that meant something. I just think that again, I don't think Foles sucks as much as everyone else does. Okay, and maybe I'm taking the cheese on it. I don't think he's going to play like he did against Minnesota. But I think with the number of weapons he has and the Patriots' defense being what it is, I think it's good enough.
Okay.
He's going to be good enough to win this game.
We continue with your calls. Jeff in Plymouth waiting patiently to talk about Kraft's comments with Andrea Kramer. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, did you guys watch that thing from start to finish, including the introduction of the piece?
No.
Okay. So it was introduced as a puff piece about Jonathan and Robert and how they love each other and the whole thing or whatever. And you could see during that piece Kraft getting annoyed when Andrea Kramer started crowbarring in sort of other things, you know, Belichick, Brady, and all that. And it seemed odd to me. So today I was listening to something, and Mike Reese basically said that's what it was supposed to be, and that those topics were supposed to be off-limits, and that's where that stuff came from, and that's in that context. That's why he said, why Kraft said what, you know, you guys playing and not kind of the conspiracy theory stuff. And hey, before you let me go, Maz, can I ask you one question?
Sure.
You know, going back to that Mookie Betts thing yesterday, you guys did a great job, but I think you're letting ownership off the hook here a little bit. You know, they had Ben Sherrington, and, you know, he drafted all these guys, and he did a good job, and he wasn't perfect, but neither was Dombrowski. Yeah, Dombrowski got all these, you know, big names
or
whatever.
Jeff, we can't go too far with the Red Sox. Do you want to just follow up quickly on what he said about...
No, I'll just say Sherrington felt to me too far in the opposite direction. He wouldn't pull the trigger. So I don't know that he was the right guy either. They had the right guy before that, and that was Theo.
The point of yesterday is that your best player has not signed a single contract with you. He's not come to terms with you on a single contract agreement. You couldn't sign him long-term. You couldn't sign him for 1 year. You couldn't settle on arbitration before. Last year, they just settled on whatever the standard rate was for a second-year player.
$950,000.
This year, an arbiter had to determine the rate. You can't get Mookie Betts to sign a contract with you. That, to me, is a concern.
It is, absolutely.
Your best player may not want to be here. On the Kraft thing, so what? Andrea Kramer asked relevant questions when she set up. Good. Good for her.
No, no. But the point being that Robert Kraft poo-pooed the question because the interview was done under the guise of it being a different topic, and he didn't want to make Belichick the newsworthy element that came out of it.
I see.
So I'm not going to answer it now. You're just going to have to follow that one. I'm not going to give you news in this interview.
Okay, well, my theory is that they're not giving the news because that's coming after the year. We're going to find out that Brady and Belichick have been extended, and it's one big happy family, and everyone's taken care of, and here we go for the next 3 to 5 years. Because that's what I think is coming. That's just a hunch that I have. And they're waiting for the post-game reveal. Pam in Boston, what do you got for us on a similar topic? Go ahead, Pam.
Hey, guys. On behalf of women everywhere, I just want to apologize to Sandy or whatever her name is. But I just wanted to comment on Kraft's response with Belichick. I just think Kraft didn't want to speak to Belichick. I just think he was extending him a little professional courtesy. And that's it. You know, I think it was just him not wanting to speak. Because if he said yes or no, he would be speaking for him. So I just think it was just out of respect.
I think that's absolutely, Pam, it's a major factor. Bill does not want anyone talking about his status, even his boss. Do not talk about my contract, my status, where I'm leaning, where I am. That's off limits. And the Krafts know it. That's one sure way to piss off Bill, is to speak for him on his job status. Pam is right about that. That's also another factor.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I like football, and I like the Patriots and all of that.
Hold on, I'm not done.
This is Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can you envision a scenario where you're the one that has to tell Tom Brady it's time to retire as a Patriot?
I think Tom Brady's earned the right to have that be a decision he makes when he wants to make it.
Why does everyone want me to retire so bad? I don't get it. I'm having fun. The team's doing good. I know I'm a little bit older than most of the other guys, but I'm really enjoying it. I obviously enjoy the experience of playing in this game. This has been, obviously a dream come true, many times over. It takes a lot of hard work to get here, and our team, I think, is, working hard. We had a good practice today. We're going to need a couple more good ones. We're playing against, great football teams, so I'm not thinking about retirement. I'm thinking about the Super Bowl and trying to win the most important game of the year. It's going to take a lot to do it.
Listen to the full interview that John had today, and he sort of explained it, saying that's misconstrued a little bit. John said today that basically it's, I'm not going to tell someone else when they retire. It's their call to determine when they retire. It's not our call when a player decides to hang them up. And, because I think some, and I read it as, well, Brady gets to call the shot. That's not the way you want it.
Brady is carte blanche.
The coach should call the shot. The football people should call the shot. And so John said that was misconstrued a little bit, which I can get.
So totally. Look, you can understand that basically what he's saying is he wants to keep playing, and he's playing well. He can keep playing. We're not going to tell him that. So I get that,
But I do worry if the thing that Kraft denied is really the case.
Of course.
That Brady has such a hold on Robert and such a hold on the organization that Brady will get to call his shot, and it really shouldn't be his, it really shouldn't be his determination who the starting quarterback of the Patriots is.
If Belichick wanted to keep Garoppolo and was forced to get rid of him because Tom Brady didn't want him there, that's not good.
Of course.
Right? That's ultimately what you're saying. That's not good. To me, again, we don't need to get on that road. So, you know how I feel about Garoppolo.
As I've said this many times, I'll repeat it again. Tom Brady can't retire. It's not an option. It is no longer an option, Giselle. So get out of his ear. Enough of the chirping. Enough of the undermining. Enough of the hints. You can't trade Garoppolo and then have Brady retire the next year. That just ain't going to happen. Brady's got to give you three more years. I think 3 years starting next year is what, to me, the minimum expectation is. If you're going to trade Garoppolo, you're trading 10 years of Garoppolo for three of Brady.
I said it last week. Robert Kraft has to get them both in the room and say, all right, fine. Put me over a barrel. Name your price because you can't leave. Now you just can't leave. Like that movie, which I can't remember right now. But you take it. Take the money. You cannot leave. And Giselle, stop it with the, I don't like this anymore. Enough with this. It's a stupid game. Why do you keep playing? Because I like it, woman.
I think it was a Bronx Tale, Murray.
Thank you. That's what it was.
Here's Andrew in Dorchester. What do you got for us, Andrew?
How you doing?
Hello, Andrew.
How are you?
Good, Andrew.
Good. I'm a big fan, I just want to say. But, hey, so I'm talking about Gronkowski, and obviously he just got clipped. Now, I want to see him do great, but do you guys have any concern about how that injury is going to affect him playing on Super Bowl Sunday?
None. Zero. Andrew, and thank you for the call. None. I just don't. I'm stunned how many people keep calling on Gronkowski. You're not going to notice it. You're not going to notice it. Maybe he's going to have a ringing in his head or something, but he's playing.
If we're talking about a torn muscle, something like in 2011 with the leg issue or was his ankle, whatever it was, like, yeah, I'd be freaked out. It's a concussion. I hate to downplay it. I know a ton has been made about them here in the last few years. He'll be fine.
And maybe I'm overlooking it, too. The only thing I would just, one bit of caution is if he takes a hard shot in the first quarter.
Right. Is he any more susceptible?
He is. You know, that's, I think, been proven. You are more susceptible the more concussions you have. So, short of that, though, he's full go. And you can get a full gronking right in the face if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
I wonder if the line will move.
Here's Matthew in Framingham. Hi, Matthew.
Hi. I just got to say, last night, no Kyrie, no Smart. 30 points up. Knicks got no hot. That was ridiculous. But, Tony, Maz is worried. Your statistic there. I actually like it because, you know what? Those games are against playoff teams, not against teams like the Colts and everything. So that actually amplifies those numbers because I called last week and told you guys that Foles might be more dangerous because Carson Wentz is only a second-year quarterback, and you guys laughed me off the radio, but I don't know. So on the other side of the ball, though, I think that Gronk is going to be – who's going to cover Gronk? That's what I want to know. And if they double – what's up?
Yeah, well, no, they say Malcolm Jenkins, but –
No, you got to double him, though.
You got to double him.
Yeah, it's got to be a combo. You can't play him straight up. I don't care who it is. He's too good. He's too big. He's too strong. He's too fast. All of it. You can't play him one-on-one because they get the matchup there, and Brady will throw to him in one-on-one coverage.
Back on Foles. Do you think they're more dangerous with Foles than Wentz, man?
No, I don't. I'm just telling you the numbers are the same. Okay, Wentz is a better player. It's not even close in my mind. I think Wentz is a stud, and I think Wentz more than anything.
Wentz is a playmaker, man.
He also has an intangible.
Right.
There's a leadership quality to that kid that other guys will line up behind him. He leads that team. They believe in him. You can see it when they play. There's this... You know, this idea that he's our guy, you know, we're going to follow him, and he's tough. And I think that's part of the reason why he's willing to sacrifice his body is because he knows it'll win him points with the other guys on the team. But if you're the Eagles, you got to tell him, rein it in, pal. You're doing us no good on IR when we're in the Super Bowl.
David Stoughton, what do you got?
Yes, I have a question for you guys that I would like to ask you. Would you agree with me if I said that the defensive line and the offensive line have greatly improved since the first game of the season?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so.
The offensive line more than the defensive line, but go ahead.
Okay, you think they've improved. So
yes.
My point is that what I'm thinking is that the it's like looking at a new team for Foles. I don't believe he's ever seen this team on film or anywhere that he's going to be playing against on Sunday.
Okay, Dave, I'm going to cut you off right there. Thank you for the call. I think that's nonsense. All due respect. I mean, again, thank you for the call. I don't mean to dump on you, but no, the Patriots are the Patriots. They're not going to see a totally – they haven't improved that much. I mean, they've gotten incrementally better. I think there's been bigger improvements elsewhere. I mean, he just asked about the lines. I mean, the line usually gets better. Under Dante Scarnecchia, it usually gets better. It's not leaps and bounds. I mean, we've had previous years. Remember those sack totals in the first month of the year, and then by the end you're back in the Super Bowl? It was never like that this year.
Well, the first 5 weeks, Brady was taking a beating. It was a sieve at times.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's gotten better.
Yeah.
It's gotten better. I think you've improved more in the secondary than you have up front, frankly.
Definitely. I mean, Gilmore. Just go by Gilmore.
You got it.
Remember what Gilmore looked like in the first four games and what he looks like now. I mean, he looks like a competent, good NFL cornerback now. The beginning of the year, he looked completely, totally lost. Now, I still think Gilmore is susceptible. You know, that Pittsburgh game shook my confidence in him a little bit. I'm sorry. And, frankly, the play he made against Jacksonville was a good play, but it's a little overrated. I mean, if that ball is thrown right, he's beat. So, you know, now look, he jumped up, he made the play, he knocked it down. But, I don't know, do you think Bill Belichick wants him playing it that way all the time?
Probably not. Long commercial-free segment is next. Jonathan Kraft will respond to Robert Kraft's comments yesterday. Sort of be non-committal about Bill Belichick. John Kraft tried to clarify that today. You'll hear that coming up in our long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz. We want to appeal
fourth drive.
We're going to run it right down their throat.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First of all, Jimmy Stewart, do me a favor. Play Andrea Kramer and Robert Kraft from yesterday. Robert, not really answering to the question of Brady and Belichick returning next year, if you could.
Can you envision a scenario where you're the one that has to tell Tom Brady it's time to retire as a Patriot?
I think Tom Brady's earned the right to have that be a decision he makes when he wants to make it.
Our intent is we have the best people in their respective positions, and we keep them here for a very long time.
As we sit here today, do you have any question that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady will be back as Patriots next season?
I appreciate you asking that question, and I'm not going to respond to it. You'll just have to see for yourself.
Okay, so that led to some consternation. Again, I heard the midday show. Didn't love the answer. Like, hey, is the door open for Belichick to leave here? I mean, it is. Like, you could read it that way for sure. I read it the other way. I think, again, the Patriots are holding out for a big reveal at the end of the Super Bowl or after the Super Bowl where Brady and Belichick are coming back as one big happy family, and it'll be cemented with contracts and all of that. Like, that's what I think is going to happen. And that's what Robert Kraft is alluding to there. He says, you'll just have to see for yourself. Like, just wait. Just wait. You'll see.
Well, it could be that, or it could be the fact that, like, with Brady, to me, I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think Brady's walking. I mean, I believe Brady when he say he wants to play for a while, and they just traded Garoppolo. He feels more invested in his brand than ever before. I have a hard time believing it. Now he's just going to up and walk. And more importantly, after using whatever influence he has to help facilitate the trade of Garoppolo, he's then going to leave Kraft empty-handed?
He can't.
No way. There's no way he does that to Robert.
Not an option.
There's just no way. There's no way he does that. I don't believe that he would do that to Robert Kraft.
So John Kraft on the Midday Show today. Jimmy, the second of the two cuts you played earlier from Jonathan,
yep,
just related to, as much as you can here, to the Belichick part. Here's what Jonathan Kraft clarified today with Beadle and Zoe.
Yeah, I'll just defer to exactly what Robert said in that interview.
So that I'm makes sure, me more nervous. I'm nervous. Sure, that I'm makes sure. everybody nervous.
Well, well, I also heard that Bill Belichick at a press conference was asked, and he said absolutely or something.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I guess you look at whichever answer you want. Zoe, you talked a couple of weeks ago. You asked Bill. Right?
Why don't you go ask him?
I think those questions
are given. It's the only negative to being in the Super Bowl, and clearly it's a very, very, very small negative.
Well, the microscope is out.
The microscope is out.
I think Jonathan's just trying to maintain a healthy amount of tension, the good tension.
It's good.
You know, let's not make things too
comfortable.
Keeping everybody on their toes.
There's no dysfunction.
No dysfunction, but healthy tension.
Well, but and there's healthy tension. There's been healthy tension in, I think, any season for the 24 seasons we've been in this business. There's been a lot of healthy tensions, and in a couple cases, Zoe cited them, I've seen dysfunction. I don't see dysfunction here at all.
Okay, so that's a follow-up. I just respectfully disagree with Jonathan a little bit. I think that to say that whatever tension existed inside the walls this year was the same as any other year is wrong. I mean, I think there was more stuff going on this year, maybe more than they've ever had, you know, at that level, the front office level. And the fact that it spilled out publicly, I mean, obviously it was either Bill or Bill's lieutenants who were a big force behind that Seth Wickersham story. I'm sorry. I mean, that's just, it read like a Bill Belichick piece. So, you know, staffers were talking, people in the building were talking. The whole thing with Guerrero being with the team, then not with the team, and like, there was that was not your standard stuff. That was a little bit beyond the pale for the Patriots, and the fact it got public went beyond the pale. I don't think it's gone to the point where it's irrevocable and, like, it's all going to blow up. I never felt that. I just felt that those issues were real.
I just think in some of the other years, you're talking about player problems. Jamie Collins.
Right.
Chandler Jones. Maybe Adelius Thomas. But you weren't talking about Bill and Tom problems or Bill and Robert problems or vice, you know, whatever, the triangle, if that's what you want to call it. To me, the stakes are much higher when you have this type of tension and friction between those people involved. Also, with regard to the comment that Jonathan made about Bill on the conference, and it was a teleconference where he said that he would absolutely be back next year. Technically, that's what he said, absolutely. But when you hear it, it's not the most convincing absolutely in the world.
Again, Mass has been over this many times. How'd
so
you say
it was, is it your intent to be back next year? And there's a pause.
Absolutely. Like, it's like, yeah, sure, right now, yeah. Yeah, that's what I believe right now. Might not be, you know, and to me, the unimplied or, you know, the unsaid message there is, I might feel differently in a month. So now I wonder, like, again, I think Brady's staying, Mike. I don't think he's going anywhere because I think Brady's committed to Robert and he made him a promise. That's basically what he did. By trading Garoppolo, Kraft essentially said to Brady, you're promising you're staying? Yes. Belichick, I leave the door open just to crack. I doubt he's going anywhere, but with Bill, to me, I don't think you ever know. I think there's always a chance with Bill that he does something unforeseen.
All right, back to your phones. Keith in Lynn. Hi, Keith.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak to the fact that the Brady-Kraft relationship that they have is like unique in the history of the NFL because this is the first time where you have a billionaire player working for a billionaire. So I think that the Brady's not going to go anywhere, and it's going to be pretty much up to him when he wants to retire, or Kraft will talk to him about not destroying the brand if his play falls off or something like that. But I don't think he'll ever go anywhere because I think they have too much business, the money they've made and the money that they will make going even after Tom's off the playing field.
Okay, well, they are in business together, Keith. So, I mean, you're right about that. I just hope it doesn't reach a point where Brady does really get to call the shot. I mean, I've seen it. I mean, you know, Dan Marino's been walking around here. I feel like Dan Marino ran that Dolphins organization for the last, I don't know, 3-5 years of his career, and it was bad. And then when Jimmy Johnson came in and they butted heads because Dan, you know, Dan thought it was his building and his offense and his team, and he was bigger than the coach, and it was a mess. And
there was a little of it in Green Bay for a while.
I was just going to say, Favre did it to the Packers. Favre got to call his shot. Am I in? Am I out? I'll take all offseason before I tell you. That's just no way to... So, like, that's the downside of giving Brady too much say in terms of, you know, whether he retires or not. Of course, that's his call. But who's the quarterback of the New England Patriots? That has to be Bill's call. And they've already taken that away from him once. So, like, they just got to be careful about that. And I think they know it, you know. I think they obviously know it. Right now, it's easy. Tom Brady's still the best in the league. So what, you know, but the question is if Brady slips and he's more of a middle-of-the-pack guy and he wants to keep playing, then what, you know, that's when you got a problem. Jay in Worcester. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, what's going on? I just kind of had a two-part question. It's quick, I promise. I wanted to know, before and after the Super Bowl, whose legacy is better, Tom Brady or Joe Montana? And depending on what happens, would that change either way you look at it? And the second part was, you really believe that the Eagles are a real underdog in the Super Bowl, as stacked as talent as they are?
Yes.
I'll hang up and listen.
Jay, thank you for the call there. Definitely an underdog. In fact, I think that this line going down is such a great buying opportunity on the Patriots side. It's not even funny. If you're a Patriots better, oh, it's wonderful. It went from 5.5 to 4.
Yeah.
I feel like that's stealing.
It's all because of these degenerate Eagles fans that feel confident.
That's what I think, too. Yeah.
Good. Whatever, drive that number down.
So, I wonder if it goes back up now that Gronk has officially cleared, like people were somehow waiting for that.
I don't know. That's silly, man. He was always going to play. To me, the Patriots should be a touchdown favorite in this game, okay? Yes, I think the Eagles are a true underdog. What was his first question?
With regard to the Brady-Belichick legacy.
I always forget one.
No, the Brady-Montana legacy.
Oh, Brady-Montana.
Okay. So, listen. Brady right now has 5 championships going on 6.
It's over.
If he loses, he's 5-3 in Super Bowls. What would you rather be in Super Bowls, Maz? 5-3 or 4-0?
Yeah, look, when you get to 8, okay, when you've been to 8.
I just want to hear you say it. Would you rather be 5-3 or 4-0?
I'd rather be Brady than Montana.
You'd rather be 5-3 than 4-0?
Yeah.
You sound reluctant.
Because the 4-0 is still pristine.
You sound defeated.
I am a little defeated. I just think there's, you know, that 4-0 is nice and shiny and neat and tidy, and no one can take away from
Would you rather be 5-3 or 4-0?
5-3.
Do you mean it?
I mean it. I just don't mean it. You know, it's not as easy a decision for me as it is for Patriots fans. Montana's my whoopee.
Forget Patriots fans, Niners fans, your whoopee, blah, blah, blah.
5-3.
The numbers. I just
told you 3 times. You're going to keep asking me until I
because
say that tone.
You can hear the undercurrent of his voice.
Yeah, but that, I know the Maz tones. And this
it's over. He's the greatest ever. It's over. It's over.
This isn't Maz being cheeky. This is Maz being defeated.
Like, got it.
It's
okay.
Over. Yep, my guy's no longer the best.
So it doesn't matter what happens with this point forward. Brady's it, and he can't. You can't start taking away from Brady. He's here, and if he loses, it's not like he drops down here. He's at the top, and that's it.
I told you. I said this earlier in the week. We were talking about the whole Facebook video, Tom versus Time. I think Brady's already won. He's got five. He's been to eight. Eight freaking Super Bowls. Think of that for a second.
I mean, you understand he's only really played 16 seasons.
It's unbelievable. Every other year he goes. It's like, you know, the Winter Olympics, for crying out loud.
Ryder Cup.
Every 2 years you get an Olympic Games and Brady's in the Super Bowl. It's perfect.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz.